Amen. When God's power and presence is here, there is life. And so, Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your goodness and your great grace. We thank you. We bless you. Go ahead and bless them and tell them that you love him. Thank you, Lord God, that we love you. We worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you, Lord God, that there is life in you and life more abundantly. We thank you that there is reality in you. We thank you that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And we bless you this morning. Go ahead, lift up your hands and worship him for a moment, thanking him that he's good and that his mercy endures forever. We focus on you. We say, thank you, Lord God. Thank you that you're a big God, that you created the worlds and the fullness thereof, that you created all the stars, that you created all the galaxies. And then you molded us and you made us and you fashioned us. And then you put your spirit inside of us. And then you said, go ahead, I'm going to give you a free will that you choose to believe and to trust in me. And we want to thank you, Lord God, that we can do things for the glory of God, that we can worship you freely and with no bars, no holds, no restraints. We could say, thank you, God. Amen. I once was bound, but now I'm free. I once was lost, but now I see. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand up. Amen. Let's thank him a little bit more. Amen. It makes it for a juicier service. Thank you, Lord God. We bless you. We say thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we worship and we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you were here in the flesh, we would say we love you. We worship you. You're the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We take authority over any devil, demon, and evil spirit. We say, you have no voice. Amen. In Jesus' name. But God's voice is greater and more powerful. And we love you. We bless you this day. For it's God's people that come out on top. It's God's people who triumph. In every circumstance, in every situation, it's God's people. Everybody say, God's people always win. Amen. You may be seated. And you say, well, I know such and such, he didn't win. Well, God still wanted him to win. Amen. God always provides us a way and a means. Amen. So we're going to be talking about the Helps Ministry. And again, Tuesday prayer. Last Tuesday was awesome with Pastor Roma, and he teaches for about 15 minutes or a little bit more, and then we go into prayer. We walk around here and we pray. We believe God that he's going to minister to people's hearts and people's lives. We believe God that the Holy Ghost is here. We believe God that the manifestations of the Spirit of God. How many of you want to believe for miracles, signs, and wonders? Or you just want to go through the mundane? No, you should always say, I want the very best. You know, God will let you take a second place, so to speak. He'll let you relax and just, you know, I got enough food for me and my house. Like Brother Agin used to say, God bless me, my wife, my son John, his wife, us four, no more. No, there's more people. Amen. It's good for you to have food and go ahead and bless somebody else. And so the Tuesday prayer is very good, and you're all invited. Tuesday, Pastor teaches on the Word, on prayer, and then we walk around and we pray and we believe God, we trust in him, that he's going to minister. Because if the people are not excited, amen, if the leadership is not filled with the Spirit of God, and so he endeavors to pray, he endeavors to seek God's face because he wants the blessing to come on every single one of us, amen? How many can you sense the presence of God? Amen. He comes in. Sometimes there's an old joke that some people wouldn't know the Holy Ghost if he came in with a big red hat. No, he's here. We can't see him with our natural eyes, but spiritually speaking, you got to say, thank you, Lord. I believe that. I received that. I thank you for that because I'm excited about that. So Tuesday prayer, if you can make it out to that, that's awesome and great. I want to tell a little story. We're going to be talking about the Helps Ministry this month. It's all about helps. But I've been here now in the city, this wonderful city, for 15 years, and it's been great. Amen. It's been a real blessing. Go ahead, give me a hand. Amen. I got that from Pastor. He says that. And so that's good. And God's been faithful. But before, we were in Tulsa for 6 years, and we helped the ministry there. They didn't have a building, and so we'd work diligently, tearing down the chairs, putting up the chairs, doing this, doing that. And we did that for 6 years, and we sensed, hey, we want to go. I'm a Canadian, and the towers fell down in New York, and I thought, ah, this place is crazy. No, we love the Americans. But anyways, I sensed to come back to Canada, and so we were packing up our bags. The pastor said, hey, you're going to still be in church one more? I said, yeah, we'll be in church the next service. And so we had the van packed, everything, car on. And so I go to the church. I come early. There was a big snowstorm. What's up with the snow and the storms? But anyways, there was a snowstorm in Tulsa that year, that day that we were about to move. And so I went to the service there, and I walked in. I came to the back. And this is a cute story because it really blesses my heart. I came into the church, you know, here we're leaving. We've been faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. 6 years, man, working away, helping out, being a blessing to the pastor, being a blessing to Miss Cookie, Brother Hagen's granddaughter. And so we're helping out. And so I walked in the back. I saw this beautiful room. This is not a fairy tale. This is true. There was a room. And it was all decorated. There were streamers. There was all kinds of balloons and things. I thought, oh, I can't believe they're doing this for us. You know, that's what I said to myself. Okay? I came out of there, I almost had a tear in my eye. 6 years, you know, working away, helping out. Lukey was 1 year old. Kelsey was 2 or 3. And I come out there, I said, oh, Pastor Fred, I said, wow, that's a nice room. He says, hey, yeah, the youth are doing something in there. And right there, I understood. He pulls out a check for $500. He gives it to me, pats me on the back. He said, all the best. But here in my imagination, I looked at that room, and God does want a room like that for every one of you helpers. Did you know that? God does want a room for every one of you helpers and to feel good about it. But it made me think. It made me say, hey, maybe you're thinking along those lines, but guess what? God still loves me. Amen? And I love that story because it's so real. Because sometimes our mind plays tricks on us, and we think, oh, we deserve this, we deserve that. No, what we deserve, I'm not going to say it. But we deserve, we come to Jesus. Amen? And we're born again. And anytime we work in the church, anytime we serve, we do it with a heart of we're serving you, Jesus. We're serving you, Lord. I'm not just serving Pastor Fred back then, or Miss Adita, or Pastor Roma. I'm serving Jesus now. Amen? And that way you will never get a chip on your shoulder. I love that. I love that story because it's dear to me, because it made me in my own mind think, oh, I deserve this, I deserve that. And you do deserve the very best. But guess what? Our reward comes from Almighty God. And he wants to bless you right here and right now. And he wants to love on you. When we expect that people got to do things for us, and they've got to do this for me, they got to do that for me. No, they don't have to do anything for you. But guess what? We get to do things for people. We get to love people. We get to share our lives with people. We get to serve and be a blessing unto people, but do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. Do not be weary. Everybody say, don't get weary. Because sometimes in the church you can get weary. You're helping out, you're serving, but God says, don't be weary. You're doing it unto me. You're doing it for my glory. You're doing it for my kingdom. You're doing it for me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're magnifying the kingdom of God. Everybody who comes to the service, everybody who watches online, guess what? You're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are his representatives. You know, I died a long time ago, so to speak, when I was 20 years old. I gave up the ghost. No, I didn't give up the ghost, but I gave up the old man, the old Ken. You know, there were some people back home in Saskatchewan. They thought he was a nice guy. He was a cool guy. But no, he was a dork. Amen? And he needed Jesus. He needed to be saved. He needed to be born again. And that day that I did pray, it was in a small park, I prayed and I said, if there's anything you can do, please help me. That was the prayer. You know, later on I said, yeah, I do confess Jesus as Lord. I believe him. I trust in him. But that was my prayer. And I really meant it with every fiber of my being. Praying there, saying, Lord, if there's anything you could do, please help me. And how many people die, young people die. You know, we went to the funeral, a young man. It was the saddest funeral I think I've ever been to. And but yet he believed in Jesus when he was young, the boy that passed away. And well, he's about 30. And it was a rough funeral because the man had a daughter that he produced back in 12 years ago. He met somebody and had a daughter and didn't even know about it. And the pastor's doing the funeral, and the little girl came up and read something that's to her dad that she's never, ever met. That is just heart-wrenching. That's just heart-wrenching. And saying, oh, Dad, I didn't know you, but if I did know you, I wanted to spend the whole day with you. I would have been quiet. I wouldn't have bugged you. And the place just erupted. It just went nuts. Why? Because that's emotions, and that's feelings, and that's people. And that's what God is for every single one of us. He loves us, and he wants to do the very best for us. And so so we believe that guy went to heaven, thank God. And the little girl is a real blessed girl. I gave her a few bucks, and I said, oh, well, that was something else. That was a real blessing, just to be a blessing unto her. And so we go through a lot of things in life, but we're not going to be weary and well-doing. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. Everybody say work. So your work, you work in the church. Amen? You work for God. Whether in the church or out of the church, guess what? You're working for God. Jesus says if they believe you, they're going to believe me. Jesus said that. If they believe you, they'll believe me. And so there's a work that we all do. Kenneth Hagin Jr. would say at the Bible school, he would say, ministry is spelled W-O-R-K, work. Well, that sounds exciting. No, it doesn't sound that exciting, but guess what? When you take the Bible as a whole, when you go through all the scriptures, guess what? It does make sense because it's a work of faith. There's other scriptures that talk about it, and that's what we're going to talk about is the work of faith. We're going to talk about the labor of love, and we're going to talk about patience. And just this past Tuesday, patience and endurance go hand in hand because people can get weary in well-doing. But God doesn't want us to be weary. He wants us to be jacked up, so to speak, with faith, filled with the Holy Ghost. It says in Acts that when they needed some helpers to take care of the widows, you know, there was widows that needed help. Amen. Why? Because I'm 50 and sometimes I need help getting up. Much less if you're 80 years old. But some of those 80-year-olds are pretty strong. I know my mom is getting close to 80. I know the Vitalas, they're in their 80s. Thank God for strength. But there was in the book of Acts, there were some widows that needed some help. And so they looked out for 7 guys full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom that they may appoint this business, this work to do. And so we in turn want to be a blessing. And the way we look at things, we want to say, you know, I'm doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What I do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work. God knows every work. Every prayer you prayed for the ministry. Every time you lifted up Pastor Miss Anita and the leadership in prayer. Every time you've ushered. Every time you've greeted. Every time you've played the piano. And Miss Kendra, I just want to say that piano was just wonderful today. Let's give her a hand. You know, Miss Vanessa took some time to take care of a little baby. And so Kendra has been playing, and I tell you, the piano just really, or whatever that is, it really blessed me. I noticed every key was just perfect, bling, 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 bling. And you know, that blends in and provides a help and a blessing to the church, and so we thank God for that. So it says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love, which you did what? Showed toward his name, Jesus, in that you've ministered to the saints, and do minister. So there they emphasize work, and they emphasize also labor of love. And another scripture, he brings the same things when he talks to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. I'm sorry, Brother Caleb, would you be able to give that to the media people? That's the scriptures. That one's mine. Brother Caleb. Hey, here. You give this. This reminds me of some kind of comedian show trying to catch the guy. Okay, there we go. Sorry about that. See, that's a help. They're trying to put scriptures up, and I've got it for them, but I didn't give it to them there. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. So we give thanks to God always for you. Again, he's talking to the Thessalonians. Make it mention of you in my prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Everybody say work of faith. And your labor of love and patience or endurance of the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. And believing God and working in the help ministry go hand in hand. You don't go home and then you say, you know, you're praying for something, believing God. Oh, God, please, I'm believing that I'm receiving this, which, what I want. Amen. And then you come to church and you're different. No, when you work in church, you're doing it by faith. The same kind of believing that you would pray and believe God for something is the same way that you help out in the church. It's the same, they go hand in hand, believing God and working. You know, doing cameras, doing the bookstore, whatever you do, cleaning, you need faith. And the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But when you're doing it by faith. You know, when I got married, I got married by faith. You need faith. You have kids? We were going to have 5 kids, but we stopped at 4 kids. Why? Because my faith was out. But whether you adopt a child or have children of your own or however those children come about, guess what? It takes faith. And then it takes faith to discipline them. Why? You don't want to beat them black and blue, right, Joe? No, you want to be, once in a while, maybe. He says, yeah, you get upset, you give me a paddle. Well, once in a while, he gets one, but not very often. And Kelsey got a lot more, and then Luke got quite a few, and Jen got less, and then Joe got less, but now he's come. I'm tilting it back up and going the other way. So we want to, but it takes faith. And to do anything for God, it takes faith. Yeah. Amen. Just to live in this life, it takes faith. Yeah. It takes a work of faith. And don't think that your work is in vain. Amen. All your giving, all your sowing, all your blessing, you're doing it by faith. Amen. Faith. You wake up in the morning by faith. You stand up. You help out by faith. Amen. Nothing more, nothing less. Faith in a mighty God. When the single people want to choose a mate to be married, you're going to have to say, this is faith. Amen. I'm going to marry her by faith. And actually, Dave talked about his. I'm going to be 21 years this year, this month. Amen. Married Cindy. And that's been a blessing. But it's been by faith the whole way. Amen. When we did our character examinations to see what she was, I'm a golden retriever. Everybody likes dogs, right? And she's a lion. Well, I tell you, man, she ripped my fur up. And so her personality is a lion, and I'm a golden retriever. So try to make that work. But anyways, I clipped her claws first thing. And you gotta use faith to work around the whole thing. But praise God, it's been a blessing, and I thank God for it. Amen? And I don't want it to be over. Amen? Amen. So I got to use faith to believe God. She makes it back here through wherever she is with the kids. They were doing some cheerleading things. So I had the boys, and we were given a budget, and we're right in budget. We still got today yet. We're going to go eat. Hallelujah. So it says here, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience. Praise God. So remembering without ceasing your work of faith. So 2 Corinthians 5, 7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. All we do, especially in the church, must be by faith. That's how we're going to be able to work in a joyful manner. That's the way we're going to be able to function. You know, when they wanted the guys filled with the Holy Ghost, why? Because when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're very pliable. With the Holy Spirit. You want to do this? Sure. You want to go this way? Good. Amen. You want to eat there? Sure. Let's go eat there. Yeah. You want to eat that rotten old fish? Okay, sure. Let's eat that fish. and you're compliable. You want to help out? Sure, we're going to help out. And so you're compliable when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you want to do this. Why we got to do it that way? We need some help over there. Why you want to do that over there? Let's go do it over here. No, you're not very compliable. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, guess what? You yield. Amen? I learned a very interesting thing, and I'll just share it just for just to share it, because I have the opportunity to minister the word. Amen? But Keith Moore. Now, Keith Moore and Phyllis, they have helped out the ministry there for about 20 years. And how many of you know Thanksgiving is important in the States? It's very important in the States. This is, you're going to see compliable people right here. And they're cooking there at home, cooking a turkey away. This is Thanksgiving in America, and these guys are big on Thanksgiving. Brother Hagin calls up, ring, calls them up and says, hey, Keith and Phyllis, hey, why don't you come for a ride with me? A ride with you? Why would want to do that? The turkey's in the oven, you know, things are all ready. And you know, he says, sometimes there's priorities. Imagine if you had your turkey in the oven and the Lord Jesus Christ said, I want you to come with me. I want to show you something on the east end of town over there. You're going to say, no, well, let's eat first. The turkey's almost ready. There's mashed potatoes there. And I got lots going on here. Can you give, what's the matter? Don't you know? But anyways, sometimes we don't think about that. But Brother Hagin asked them to come. And did you know they left that turkey? They shut the oven off. They jumped in with him. They drove all the way to McKinney, Texas. Brother Hagin showed him where he lived, where he grew up. He says, this is where the angel spoke to my mother. This is that. Just because he was compliable. Everybody say compliable. And sometimes you got to let your agenda go to the side so you can be a blessing unto somebody else. Is it conducive? Not at all. Not when there's a turkey in the oven. But sometimes you got to be compliable. And in the church, it's the same thing. Sometimes you got to be compliable. You could have slept in this morning, but no, you got up. Amen. You washed up, made yourself look the best you could. Amen. And you didn't put any red lipstick. Any red lipstick? No. But anyways, you didn't. You could have put red lipstick if you want. But anyways, you dressed up, made yourself look good. Come to church. Amen. To hear God's word. That's complying to the Spirit of God. And if we're be sensitive in some of the little things like helping out in the church, you know, if they need help on the cameras. I know the children's ministry, they needed a lot of help moving all that stuff. At the last minutes there's stuff to do. And now when the construction is up, there's still going to be things to do. So open up your spirit, open up your heart and say, where can I be a blessing? Can I be compliable and work and to be a blessing? So the work of faith, we do things, especially in the church, we do it by faith. Faith is simply acting on the word of God because it's true. And the Bible says in Colossians 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, do it heartily. Okay, how do you do that? You do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll receive a reward of your inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Amen. And so your work of faith, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So as you work by faith, as you seek God by faith, as you help out in all the different capacities, you're doing it by faith. Everybody say, by faith?
By faith.
That's what you do. You do it by faith. Because it's a work of faith. The next one is a labor of love. Everybody say a labor of love. Now a labor of love is a labor. I was a laborer on the railroad for about 2 years. I swung a sledgehammer. I've been working on the railroad all the long days. And so there was an old guy, he showed me, this is how you pound a spike. You have this long hammer with a head like that, and he said, you bend your knees a little bit, and you get your hammer, and then you swing. And I got pretty good. I enjoyed it, actually. Swinging away, hitting that small spike. But it's a labor, and continually labor. One thing was interesting, that there was these other better jobs than a labor, But when I wasn't a born-again person, I never got any of them. It's funny how that works. Some people, they want to do it their way, and I tried many things to get a better job than a laborer, you know, swinging a hammer, but I couldn't do it. And then I got born again on that year of 1987, and all of a sudden I said, I filled out one paper, but a boom, another job right there. Run a rail saw, and then I ran that thing. And then I bid on that. I've got that, a bigger machine that plows the gravel. Then I bid on another one. It's a speed swing that lifts the rails. Then I bid on another one. And I went right to the very top of all the machines in a matter of no time. Isn't God a merciful God? And then the supervisor there, Terry Clark, he says, I want you to be my assistant. My assistant? 60 guys. He says, yeah, you be my assistant. With God, he just takes you places that you've never dreamed. Anyways, he helps you, doesn't he? How many of you can acknowledge that God helps you when you seriously look to him with heartfelt praise and adoration? When you look to him, I tell you, he brings it all. But what I wanted to say was a labor. At the beginning, it could be hard laboring, but you're doing it as a labor of love. If God really ministered, and I believe he did to a lot of people, he showed his love towards you, and now you want to show your love towards other people. You're doing it with a heart of gratitude. You know, Brother Joe there, many times I mentioned something, I just want to do it as unto the Lord. He did a lot unto the Lord. But you better ask Pastor Steve, I think he's got some money there. But anyways, it's unto the Lord. You do it as unto the Lord. And guess what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive the reward of your inheritance. I would like to, when I get to heaven, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been good with that one talent I gave you. Hey, I would rather have one talent and use it than 10 talents and not use them. I don't know if that makes sense, but anyways. Whatever talent you got, use it for the glory of God. And God expects us to do whatever we can. You know, I laugh at Catherine Kuhlman. How many ever heard of her? She ministered to thousands of people, 12,000 people at a time. And she would say, well, I have no gifts. She don't have no gifts, eh? Ministering to 12,000 people, you got no gifts, eh? But what she was saying was the Holy Spirit blessed her and helped her and strengthened her. And she, in her own mind, in her little red-headed mind, she didn't have any gifts. But in God's mind, he said, no. Because the worse it is in someone's life, guess what? The more grace, the more favor a person can have. That's why everybody who's from the res, guess what? If they see God with all their heart, God can bless them and help them and encourage them and bring them up. Because Jesus says about that one person, this one woman was just weeping at Jesus' feet. And the disciples say, get her away. Jesus said, hey, this woman has been forgiven much. She has been forgiven much. Leave her alone. You have been forgiven little. You maybe don't love as much. But we should all want to love God with all of our heart. And then that love also transfers over. It's in our DNA. Everybody say it's in my DNA. So when you got born again, guess what? God's love was right in there. Before you might have been mean. I don't know what you were like before you came to Christ. You could have been mean. I think of myself, I wasn't that mean. I did hit a couple people. One guy, you know, I tapped him on the shoulder and hit him. It's called a sucker punch. But anyways, it's because there's a long story there. There's a lot of history. Well, we went to this house party, eh? And he said... And he said, I put down his mother. I don't remember saying anything to his mother. And then, so he jumped on me and he beat me up. So I thought the best way to do it is to do it that way. But anyways, I didn't really hate the guy. So he had a big shiner on his graduation, year of graduation. So but when we're born again, we love people. We don't want to see anybody burn in hell. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. We don't want to see nobody go to hell. We don't want to see nobody suffering. We want to see people blessed. And that's the love of God now in Christ Jesus that's imparted to you. That every one of us, the love of God comes inside of us and all of a sudden we love. You know the flesh, before you're born again, it says, you hit me, I'll hit you. You spit on me, I'll spit on you. But now when you come to Jesus, all of a sudden, no, I don't want to do that. I had a funny story. I worked at Walmart. These are getting close now. But anyways, I worked at Walmart for 1 year. And there was a big, strong guy there. And I'm doing my job. You know, sometimes people get irritated at you and you don't know why. Has that ever happened to you? Well, it goes both ways. But anyways, and so he got irritated with me about something. And he wanted to take me outside. He says, we'll go off the Walmart parking lot and we'll have it out. Here, I'm an assistant pastor. So as soon as he said that, then my life flashed before my eyes and I said, this is stupid. I'm a Christian. Like, I didn't cuss him down or swear anything. I just irritated him, eh? Because I was moving this dolly or something and maybe accidentally came close to him. But he got all in arms. Why? We'll go off this property, man. We'll see who. And I'm like, man, this is bringing back some memories. And so I immediately smiled in my spirit and I said, oh, I wouldn't do that to save my life. Why? And I immediately said, Lord, you know, forgive me. That is stupid to argue with somebody to the point of physically fighting. Imagine, eh? He could have killed me. But anyways, but the love of God welled up inside my heart immediately. Why? Because that's the way we are. We're God's children. Sometimes in the hustle and bustle of life, we think, oh, no, we get in some kind of a rotten groove. But no, God wants us to think clearly. Amen. We're born again. We're alive unto God. We're a testimony. We're a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves us, and we love him. And we thank God that we have the love of God in our spirit, in our heart. In Galatians 5:6, it says, faith, your faith works by love. And the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. We have to see the big picture at Faith City Church. It's not all about, have you ever heard, it's not all about you? Yeah. Well, it goes a lot of different ways. Because it's not about you, but yet God respects you and loves you. Amen? And if anybody hurts you, guess what? They hurt God. And if you turn around and you hurt somebody else, guess what? You're hurting Jesus. The guy takes it personally. The Son of the living God takes it personally, Jesus. He says, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't clothe me. I was naked and yada yada and you didn't do this. I was in prison and you didn't come visit me. And those people say, Lord, when did we ever see that? He said, as you have done unto the least of these, you did it unto me. Oh. Then all of a sudden he finds another group and he says, I was hungry and you gave me some food. I was thirsty and you gave me some drink. I was in prison and you came and visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we ever do that? I didn't understand when we did that to you. He said, no, as you've done it to the least of these, you did it unto me. So Jesus takes it very personally how we handle ourselves. Amen? And what we do in church and how we handle ourselves outside of church. And so we thank God that he takes it personally. And when we do good, like I like the joking around, but Pastor and myself, we do sometimes. You know, you're going to get what's coming to you. Yeah? Woo! Hallelujah! We gave a lot of money this last year to the church. We're going to get what's coming to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Amen? I studied my Bible. We're going to get what's coming to you. Revelation, truth, knowledge. Amen? I prayed. You're going to get what's coming to you. Answers to prayers. Amen? You were good to your neighbor. Hallelujah. You blessed him. You made him some coffee. Amen? God's going to bless you. Amen? Maybe they'll come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and their personal Savior. Amen? Hallelujah, you sought God. Guess what? The presence of God came in your room, and he filled you up with the Holy Ghost. Amen? He opened the door right at the right time when you needed a door open. Hallelujah! Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. I think of Brother Higgins' meetings, three overflows. There was the main service, the second overflow, and the third one. I go and I sit in the second overflow. I sit right beside Cindy. Hallelujah! And I wasn't married at the time. we're chit-chatting and talking, and the Lord dropped in my spirit that she'd make a good wife for you. Not very much of a statement, but she has made a really good wife, eh? Just took God at his word. Hallelujah. You're going to get what's coming to you. Everybody say, I'm going to get what's coming to me. I'm a blessing. Amen. And you're going to receive a blessing. Hallelujah. God is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or understand with our weaknesses and temptations, but one who was tempted in every way we are, exactly knows how it feels to be human, the Amplified Bible says, in every way we are, yet without committing sins. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you were just like me. Yet when you walked this earth, you knew what exactly everything we go through. And you say, like one guy says, wow, Jesus wasn't married. He doesn't know what it feels like. He created marriage. He was in the very beginning with God. He came to this earth as a little bitty baby. He grew up in the knowledge and the wisdom of God. At 12 years old, he wanted to be about his father's business. But his parents said, hey, come on out of the temple. Look, you come with us back home. And he was at home obedient to his parents for 18 years. Everybody say 18 years. That means he's humbling himself at home with mom and dad. 18 years. And he's the son of God, and yet he submitted himself. And can we submit ourselves to some things? Yes, we can. Hallelujah. So Jesus knows what we go through when we labor of love, when we do a labor of love. Whatever you do it for the glory of God. Amen? You want to be a blessing unto your mate? Then you're doing it for the glory of God. Not because they did something for you that's right, finally. No. Amen. There's a lot of marriage counseling going on nowadays, and I'm picking up some things. But you gotta do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We do it. I love Caleb Strong. Why? Because Jesus is in my heart. That's why. Amen. He loves me the same reason. Not because I've got a Honda. Amen. He likes Honda Civics, but I don't know. But anyways, so that's what it is. It's doing it is because we got the love of God. So it's a work of faith. It's a labor of love. And the third one is patience. Everybody say patience. Patience. Now, patience is endurance. We can get weary at well-doing. You know, I enjoyed, when I was younger, running. And I was a really fast sprinter. But I could only sprint, like, from here to the wall. And then I was done. I'm not sure if I had a heart issue or what, but I could not run much farther. But I could do it really fast. That's why I was no good in fighting, too, because I would get tired. But anyways, so some people have little short distances that you're good for a little bit of a time. You know, the Bible says about the word of God that when it's sown, it falls on different types of ground. One ground is the thorny ground, and the seed will grow up a little bit, but guess what? The cares of this world. I need more money. I need more of this. I need fame. I need this thing going on in the world. I need this. I need that. And it chokes the word. It becomes unprofitable. One ground is a rocky ground where it springs up and they're all excited. And many times in church, people could be excited. Hallelujah. I'm going to help you. Like Pastor says, I'm going to do Nipigon. Who's going to come? I'll come. I'll play the guitar. Hey. And by the time he gets the gas for the car and in the vehicle, the guitar is gone and the person is gone. So what happened? Well, they got weary. Their endurance wasn't long. But how many of you know God wants every one of us to have patience, wants to have endurance? You know, building a church, that's why I give it to Pastor Mr. Nita. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Let's give him a hand. It takes endurance to build a church. It takes endurance. And if I get it, the story is right. When they came here and they started the church, many of the pastors didn't. They said, you know, I don't think you should do that. They weren't maybe that encouraging. You know, it's nice when everybody is for you. You know, just patting on the blessings. You're just so great. You're so wonderful. Yada, yada, yada. But if it's not, then you can get weary. But thank God they've been faithful, amen, for 30 years of continually pressing. And as far as I could see, this is a mega church in Kern River, amen. Go look through the houses around this area. This building is bigger than anything else. And you say, well, that's not like the States. Well, we're not in the States. We're in Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada, North, Amen. Does that mean anything bad? No, it just means that God is here just like he's anywhere else. And the Spirit of God is just the same here as in anywhere else. And as the Spirit of God was in Brother Hagin, the Spirit of God is in this place and inside of us. Amen? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. So the patience and endurance, people getting weary and well-doing. Anything good can take some time. You know, anything good takes time. How many of you ever made a cake? Does it take a little time? Especially not just in the box. You can get the box, add water and stuff. But there's other ways. Get flour and start making things up. Well, that takes some time. So unless the in your life, unless the Lord speeds up that process, guess what? It's going to take time to receive all that God wants for your life. It doesn't happen instantaneously. Now, miracles, they happen, can happen instantaneously. Supernatural healings can happen instantaneously. My wife, Cindy, Lukey, close your ears. But anyways, she had trouble with alcohol when she was young. That's why I tell those kids, don't mess with it. Because of all my grandparents, on one side, they were chronic drinkers. And on the other side, they were chronic drinkers. And so that could be in your blood system. So I say, don't mess with that stuff. Amen. Not even, how about the wine coolers? They're just 1%, aren't they? Okay, well, give me 100 bottles. I'll drink them all, and then I'll get a little bit plastered. No, but anyways, but when she got born again, hey, what? She was totally free. Amen. That's awesome. Other people, they're not that free. They're still tempted and tested and tried in different areas to try to bring them down. So if it happens supernaturally, instantaneously, rejoice. If it doesn't, then you're walking in faith. Amen. You say, I'm tempted in this area very strong, but bless God, I'm walking by faith. Amen. And God wouldn't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape. So anything good takes time. Cooking a meal, painting, having a baby, is those instants? Well, it takes about 9 months, is what I understand. Why? Because that baby is forming. That baby's forming. Soon as they hear, oh, there's a baby coming. Oh, well, then they start preparing. Got to get some shorts for the kid. Get some Pampers. But it takes some time, right? It takes some time to be able to get the best that God has. And many times that we don't want, you know, how many people drop out of the race, say, no, it's taking too long. It's taking too long. No, my Bible tells me, I always look to Moses, 40 years in the palace, 40 years on the backside of the wilderness, working with his father-in-law. What a loser Moses, eh? Working with his father-in-law. Now, I've worked for my father-in-law a couple times, and that's tough. And you basically submit to them, and that's all there is to it. Why? Because they're older than you and stronger. But anyways, Moses was 40 years taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. You know, taking care of sheep until the experience with God, eh? And then 40 years of power. Amen? And so that always encourages me. Don't get weary in well-doing. You ain't seen nothing yet. Amen? Just continually help out. Be a blessing. Don't give up. Don't give up on the Lord and think that, oh, no, there's a better way. No, there's not a better way. He is everything. He is all in all. And so getting married, a musical talent, that takes time to practice that thing. You know, it takes time. It doesn't happen just overnight unless you, again, spectacular, supernaturally. I've seen people play the piano and they were like, 5 years old, yeah, I just got this gift. And so they're all Jerry Lee Lewis. As far as I understood, that he just went for it, eh? Great balls of fire. But he's coming close to the fire. He's almost leaving earth. I pray he comes to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But that's some gifts are given to people and they do it. Well, if you don't have anything like that, you just continually do what you can do to be a blessing. Amen? If you're breathing and you can help, then that's what's needed. You know, the old saying, we need you when we need you, is a good statement, and I heard that. Because a lot of times it's inconvenient to come and help. But if you're doing it as unto the Lord and you're doing it by faith, then you're doing it right. Building this church physically and spiritually, it takes time. Takes time. It just doesn't happen. Bada boom, add some water. And it happens. No, it takes a lot of faith, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. Hebrews 6, verse 12, it says, be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. You know, Abraham was a good guy, that he went through a lot, that he had the promise of God. And if you got the promise of God, everybody say the promise of God. That's where your answer is. Because when you have a word from God, then that's your word that you hang on to it. Yeah. And you say, no, that's my word. That's my word. I've got that from God. The what I do it because God told me. God spoke to me. God told me to do this. So that's why you're doing it. And so you do it because God has told you to do it. So Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, coming to a conclusion, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, and it's all its shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. So if anybody had to walk in patience and endurance, it was Jesus. Hey? He would have the big crowds, and there would be multitudes of people, and he would tell his disciples, hey, I'm going to be betrayed, and I'm going to die, and 3 days I'm going to rise from the dead. They couldn't understand it. They were blind to what was said unto them, and they couldn't see it. But he endured that. He went through it. He had the word. He must die for humanity. He must give up his life. He must give up the ghost, but he's going to come back in 3 days. So he's getting beat by Pilate's soldiers. He's getting beat, and yet he had that in his mind. Amen? Yeah. Where's that old song? He was on my mind when he was on the cross. Hey? And he thought about that. He thought about resurrecting. And you know, Jesus, when he went through all that, and then he finally said, it's finished and it's done, and then he died for 3 days, and then he rose again. Now, who's going to talk bad about Jesus? Nobody. Every one of us, we got to bow the knee. Why? Because it's Jesus. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet he didn't all have it always rosy, thinking that everybody's got it better than we have it. You know, we've got it so hard. Oh, this is a tough life. Oh, it's bad. No, with Jesus, it's a good life. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you shall receive power, ability. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And so we have supernatural strength as we look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So your work of faith, all your service, all you gave, the money, the time, the energies, the efforts, the skills, the crafts, the blood, sweat, and tears, we appreciate it, but guess what? More importantly, Almighty God appreciates it. God looks at that and he says, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my child, doing what I impress them to do. God, you're doing exactly what God told you to do. Your work of faith will be rewarded. Your labor of love, when you walk in love, when someone else didn't want to walk in love. Hey, have you ever had that? Where you want to walk in love, someone else doesn't walk in love? Or maybe they want to walk in love and you don't want to walk in love? when others didn't walk in love, but you did. That's a labor of love. When you say, I'm doing this because I love God and God loves me. When your efforts seem futile, weak, no results, that's a labor of love. How many times have you prayed, Miss Grace? And maybe you were by yourself. You know, last time we had like 18 people out to pray. Thank God for all those people. Thank God that they come out. But that's a labor of love. You're pouring into something. Maybe you don't see the results right there and then, but it's there. Hallelujah. So small results, that's a labor of love. When you're doing something just because God told you to do it, that's a labor of love. Your patience, have you ever heard your patience is running thin? Then there's going to be trouble. Your endurance can weaken when you don't know if you can continue. The Bible says that Jesus understands that. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, there's no temptation taking you but is common to man, but God is faithful. Everybody say, God is faithful.
God is faithful.
Who not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. So let's all stand. Let's thank God. We're going to do some confessions because God is a faithful God. He knows your work of faith. He knows your labor of love. And he knows that he wants you to walk in patience, and he's given you patience. And I thank you, God, for that. Father, we want to thank you in the name of Jesus, that we bless your holy name. And we say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we can do something in your kingdom for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. That when people think about you, they think about God. When they think about you, they think, there's a life that's transformed. There's a life that's changed. There's one doing something for the glory of God. When they think about you, they say, thank you, Jesus, that you saved that man, that you saved that woman. And now they're in your kingdom. Oh, for a masandere ke sita de shitata. Is ever a masumburomo kushto kuramasa. Spirit of God, we worship you. And we thank Jesus that he's here this morning to minister into our hearts. As God speaks directly to your spirit, what he would have you to do. Amen. You can think about the other person. Oh, they should do this. They should do that. They should do the other thing. What does God say to you? Oh, Father, we thank you for opening up our ears and eyes to see how this church, Faith City Church, needs help. What could I do to be a blessing? What can I do to be a blessing in my city? What can I do to be a blessing to my nation? What can I do to be a blessing to my people? Thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your great grace. And we say thank you, Father, for that work of faith that many people here has worked hard and diligently in many aspects. And we thank you for their gifts and their graces and their ability. And that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you'll see that they'll get a reward, because you said that every idle word a man shall speak shall give an account. And so you have a great accounting system in heaven. And we thank you and we worship you and we praise you this morning. We thank you for that labor of love, that doing things for the glory of God. Thank you, Father. For God so loved the world that he gave. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you showed us the way and how to be a blessing, how to love people, the unbelievers. Thank you, Father, for them in this city. And we pray for them that they would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. That this place wouldn't be able to house the people, because people are hungry for reality, hungry for the truth, hungry for the word of life, the bread of life. And we thank you. Thank you for your strength for each one. Thank you, Lord, that patience, that they run their race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. For he has begun a good work in you, and the Bible says he will bring it to completion. And we want to thank you for that. And we praise you in every way, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Let's all confess this. This is the confession of faith. Say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God's Spirit is inside of me. He strengthens me to overcome every obstacle. I'm blessed and a major blessing. I'm a child of the King. I'm a blessing to my family, to my friends, to this church and the world. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, karama sandarabasatara bakashta. Thank you for your ability, and thank you for your goodness, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, that we can help, that we can serve, that we can be a blessing as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we believe and as we say positive things, positive affirmations in our own lives, you can bring those things to pass. And I thank you, Lord God. Oh, puramas sandarabeke shtandaramas sandaramashtika. Isevatabukushtoku ramasanda. Oh Lord, you're good. Hallelujah. And your mercies endure forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Mr. Nita, you got anything? And so we want to thank God for this day, amen? This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, amen. So Leadership Essentials, 6:30 tonight, and then Tuesday prayer at 7 o'clock, Wednesday service at 7. God bless you, and have a wonderful Sunday.